You have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn with us to the book of Romans, the very first chapter. I want to begin reading in the 17th verse this morning. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Let me take time out and make a comment. What God is saying right here is that for the lost world, he has shown himself in them. That's in their conscience. Did you know that men who are known atheists have taken lie detector tests, and when they were asked, is there a God, and they said no, the lie detector went off and said they had said or told a lie. Amen. How'd that happen, Preacher Darren? God gave all of us a conscience, and that conscience tells us there's a God. It's in us. And unto them, that's creation. That's what we see. Common sense will tell us. You may deny all you want to and say, this don't make sense. But a creator God makes perfect sense. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is the reading of Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 32, if correctly read. Let's pray. Father, now we thank you for the word of God, and Lord, help us that we might consider ourselves and examine ourselves this day. Father, I pray that you would touch us as we preach. You would help us to do so. I pray, Father, you would illuminate our minds, loose our stammering tongues, and help us today from heaven. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Are you still in Romans, right? Chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, art that judgest? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. As we read Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 32, where did your mind go? And we come to chapter 2 and God says, you're inexcusable if you judge the heathen world according to Romans chapter 1. Be careful in Romans chapter 2 that you don't become a hypocrite as you judge them. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Preacher, what are you trying to say? The Lord says you better be very careful that with your self-righteous spirit or your hypocritical attitude that you don't judge the heathen and you are doing the very same things. In fact, if you'll hold your place, let's jump back to Luke chapter 18 and we see just a little bit about this self-righteous, hypocritical attitude found in a parable that our Lord told in verse number 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Before I preach, I want to make this comment. See if I can get an amen. We like to measure ourselves by others. We are indignant about the sins of others, but indulgent about the sins of ourselves. Well, preacher, how should I measure myself? God measures us by himself. Preacher, I'll never hit that standard. Ah, yes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you realize back in Romans chapter 2 that the Bible tells us that thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever there are that judgest? But he also said in Romans chapter 1 verse 20 about the heathen that they are without excuse. Neither the heathen nor the hypocrite has an excuse. And in fact, in Romans chapter 2, from verses 1 through 8, and include verse 16, the word judge or judgest or judgment is found 8 times. 8 times. God will judge the heathen. God will judge the self-righteous hypocrites. How will God judge them? He gave us the outline. He said in verse 2, he said, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. God will judge us by his truth. Preacher, you keep saying the word hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor. He or she are simply playing a part. They make a little profession. They stand up and they go through the motions and they pretend. They put on a little righteous performance. And they get by. But God says, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? There's a day coming where the hypocrite, if he's going to play a happy role, he puts on a happy face. And if he puts on a sad role,
he puts on a sad face. And if he wants to play a righteous role, he struts his peacock feathers around and acts like he's never committed a sin. But God's truth is going to pull the mask off and expose the hypocrite for the rotten, dead bones that he really is. I think of Howard Carter. In 1922, he discovered the tomb of King Tutankhamun, the richest of all the pharaohs, the kings of Egypt. He died at about age 18 or 19. And when they found the sarcophagus and they began to open that great golden coffin, inside it was another golden coffin. They got excited and they opened it. And they found another, third golden coffin covered with a gold leaf. They took that gold leaf and they opened that third coffin and they found a fourth coffin covered in pure gold. They pried open that fourth coffin and sure enough, there was the body of King Tutankhamun covered by a great golden wrapping with a mask on his face. How beautiful and golden that it was. They reached inside that coffin and removed that mask, and it was dead, dried, withered up, human flesh, just like you and me. He was a corpse. And I don't care what you try to do to your exterior to gussy yourself up and get yourself ready. God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks on your heart. And God says to this crowd that wants to judge the heathen and blow them out for what they've done, and really they're doing even worse themselves in private and nobody knows it. God says, I know who you are, I know why you do what you do, and I'm going to take my truth and I'm going to rip the mask and the disguise off, and I'm going to show you one day in judgment for what you really are. Preacher, what is this truth? The scriptures are the word of truth. His spirit is the spirit of truth. The Son of God is truth. Amen. I'm glad the church, which is said to be the pillar and the ground of truth. He said in 3 John chapter 1, verse number 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my little children walk in truth. You and I need truth. Truth is to your spirit what food is to your body. You have got to have truth. But in our society, truth has fallen in the streets. Nobody wants to lift up truth anymore. Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time. But you cannot fool all the people all the time. And I want to go a little further. And you cannot fool God any of the time. God has a righteous standard by which he judges, and it is his precious word. It is called the truth. Friend, there are three fatal flaws that any hypocrite has. What are they, preacher Darren? First of all, a hypocrite's appearance and perception, the way they are outwardly, the way they are perceived, that's righteousness and truth to them. Your outward appearance means absolutely nothing if the heart is not right. I want to read in Matthew 23 about these hypocrites that are filled with fatal flaws. In Matthew chapter 23, I almost brought a bowl this morning that was going to be filled with oatmeal that I left sitting there all hardened now and crusted that had been sitting about 2 days. I wanted to bring that in this morning, show you what a beautiful bowl it was, and then turn it up and show you that it was filled with old crusty oatmeal. Let me tell you something. Your exterior can be beautiful, but if inside it's just old crusty deadness, what's it good for? Matthew chapter 23, and in verse, I know it's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. Verse 27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He says in Romans 2, verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Preacher, can you tell me what that means? You say a preacher ought not to steal, but does the preacher steal? If the preacher's going to preach on tithing, does the preacher tithe? If the preacher says you ought not to steal God's tithe, shouldn't the preacher tithe too? If the preacher says you ought not to steal God's glory, should the preacher not make sure that he's not stealing God's glory? Hello? I mean, it'd be hypocritical to stand up and do anything different than that. He says in verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Preacher, I've never committed adultery. The Bible says in Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery in his heart. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Well, preacher, I may have done some things, but I've never murdered anybody. Praise God you thought that. Because 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You see, a hypocrite believes that truth and righteousness is based on his outward appearance and upon how he's perceived in the community. That's his first fatal flaw. His second one is this. He thinks that because he's absent of problems, that everything's okay. Preacher, what do you mean? Many people believe that God's approval is based on his blessings. Prosperity means that you have the favor of God. Look at verse number 4. Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If you're healthy, you think God's blessed me. And he has. If your bank account's good, you say God's blessed me. But you ought to be careful, because what you think is that God's blessings are his approval, his stamp of approval, saying he's approving of your lifestyle. Hypocrites believe that as long as everything's okay, then God approves. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Preacher, what's it saying? It's saying that Sodom was at an economic all-time high before God's judgment fell. If you'd have preached judgment in there, they said, you're crazy. We're doing better than we've ever done. I talked to a lady this week. She went to the doctor for a regular appointment. She said, Preacher Darren, they put me in the hospital because they found something wrong with my heart. She said, I wasn't even sick. And oftentimes we'll come right here and say, I'm running right well, Preacher Darren. God's blessing, God's approval. He's been good to me. Well, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that he agrees with your lifestyle. You understand? It is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Do you know what that means? If God has blessed you, he's drawing you to a place of repentance. If you've got a good bank account, if you've got a job, if you've got health, you ought not to sit back on your laurels and say, well, everything's good. I know he ain't preaching to me. The very goodness of God is what's drawing you. Said, I'm trying to invite you to get right with me. Preacher, that's the exact opposite of what I think. Yes, because we're hypocritical and self-righteous in our thinking. God's saying, I'm inviting you, I'm drawing you. It's the goodness of God. Amen. Thirdly, look at the hypocrite's approach to judgment. You know, they believe that delayed judgment means that they've got by with it and no judgment will ever be forthcoming. Verse 5, Romans 2, after the hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What's he saying there? As you harden your heart and say, that preacher's crazy. The goodness of God is not drawing me to repentance. The goodness of God is not drawing me to an altar. That preacher's crazy. So go ahead and sit there. But what you're doing is you're making a deposit in the bank of wrath. And the wrath of God, the judgment of Almighty God will fall on you one day. And you may think you've got, just because you're undiscovered and unapprehended at this point doesn't mean you got by with it. A friend of mine was speeding through this one town in Tennessee. And a few weeks later, they took a picture of him, his car, his license plate, and sent him a fine for speeding through their state. He thought when he went through there, no police car pulled me over. He thought when he went through there, nobody escorted me to the side of the road, and I'm undiscovered. Nobody knows. Some of you sitting here saying, oh, dear God, I went through Tennessee this last week. I was probably speeding. Now you're getting worried, right? I'm telling you, the wrath of God's the same way. Just because judgment's not fallen yet doesn't mean it's not going to come. Let me tell you what my friend did. This is a true story. He thought it was somebody joking with him. You know, put together some official documents and doctored them up. So he wrote a check for the fine and took a picture of it and mailed it in. Within about a week and a half, he got a knock on his door. The sheriff's department was standing there, been called in by another government association, and they had a picture. The guy seriously knocked on the door and standing there in full uniform, had a picture of a pair of handcuffs and smiled at him when he opened the door. He said, I have you your check, sir. Here you go. I'll pay it right now. Let me tell you what, just because you're undiscovered and unapprehended at this point does not mean the judgment of God is not going to fall on you. God will judge us according to his truth, not truth according to me. Not truth according to the newspaper or Time Magazine or Newsweek or according to our government, but truth according to God Almighty's righteous standard. He is going to pull your golden mask off, ma'am, your golden mask off, sir, and show you for the rotten corpse that you really are. I'm telling you, we are hypocritical and self-righteous with our attitudes. God will judge us according to truth. Look at verse 6. He says that he will render to every man, there's our word again, according to his deeds. God's going to judge us according to deeds. Look at verse 11. There's no respect of persons with God. You know how you're going to be judged? You're going to be judged by your works. Now wait a minute, Preacher Darren. You preach all the time that I'm not saved by works. That's true. But you will be judged by your works. You will be judged by your very own deeds. See, here's the problem. Hypocrites try to measure themselves by the heathen of Romans chapter 1. And we look and say, well, I'm not doing those things, so I must be all right. James 2:10 says this, whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Let's just imagine we had a chain, one of them big old log chains, brother. And you tied that log chain around my waist and you dangled me off the side of this building here. That log chain would hold me pretty good. But let's decide that we're going to take that log chain apart right in the middle of it somewhere. You know, there's 10 commandments, right? 10 commandments. We're going to break one of them. And we're going to put one of those chain links back together with paper mache. Just paper, and link it back together. And then tie that same chain around my neck, around my waist. Oh, we're doing pretty good. And then drop me off the side of the building. What's going to happen? I'm going to fall. You see, if I'm guilty at one point, I'm guilty of it all. God's going to judge you by your actions. Sins of omission. Things you neglected. Things that you just completely said, nah, I'm not going to have anything. Sins of omission. Sins of commission. things about your duty as a Christian that you are called to carry out, and you said, that's just for somebody else. Not for me. I'm doing just as good as so-and-so. In fact, I'm better than a lot of people. You're just the one I'm preaching to. You're just exactly the one that God's got his finger on today. You quit measuring yourself by your neighbors, and you start measuring yourself by the Word of God. Preacher, this is hard to hear. You better believe it's hard to hear. When he broke it in on my soul, I was on my face. He measures me by my actions, and then he measures me by my attitude. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, of also the Gentile. Preacher, what's he saying about your attitude? You realize there's some people, they've come today to seek Jesus. But there's a lot of people who come out of contention. They come to try to criticize. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not dumb enough to believe that everybody here just loves my soul absolutely to death. I'm not just dumb enough to believe that. There are some people says, I'm ready to go. I want to get out of here. I don't want to hear this message. This has nothing to do with me. I'm glad, thank God, you came today. There are those who've come to seek the Lord, and there are those who've come to seek a loophole. What attitude did you come with? Did you come today as a seeker, or did you come today as a scorner? I just knew they was going to sing more than three songs in the choir. I knew they'd sing that one verse extra. I knew I was just trying to extend that service to get a move. Let me tell you something. I pray that'd be something moving on you. I pray the Holy Ghost to get a hold of your soul and start stirring, put his finger on your life and tell you, you're the one that I'm dealing with. You're the one that I'm trying to get the attention of. You're the one that needs to focus and look to me in all things. Hey, God the Holy Ghost is trying to deal with our church. I want y'all to say, oh, yes, God, I agree with you. Oh, yes, God, I want you. I'm not coming to this church as a scorner. I come today as a seeker. God will judge your actions. God will judge your attitudes. You better be quick not to judge according to the world.